Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/Lilisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lilisa J. Williams.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, we are back for Wednesday right here on the Coach Lilisa Show. Well, I tell you, it's been a journey. It has been one serious, serious journey. Well, you know, that's what it's all about, though, right? Life is a journey. And along this journey, we find all kinds of things. I mean, it's an extraordinary journey. And life is just such an awesome adventure. And I think I recognize this even from the time I was a little kid, because I tell you, I was outdoors every day. You couldn't get me inside that house for nothing in the world. But you know what? I thank God for that spirit to want to always be up and about looking for the next thing, because that's how I stumbled upon being a talk show host. So anyway, I'm having big, big fun. And you know, as a personal development coach, as a spiritual and life coach and mentor to many, we just are having the time of our life. So I want to talk today about a serious, 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 very, very serious. Did I say serious? I'm talking about this issue is so very, very serious and important. And we cannot do it justice in this 1 hour talk show. So it's probably going to be one of those shows that's going to have to be developed into a series of shows, because it's a very, very serious issue. As a matter of fact, the issue is so serious that now the month of October has been labeled, and has been for, you know, several years now, but it's just really started to catch on here, is labeled Domestic Violence Month. And then here recently, I believe as recent as this year, They've also labeled it Anti-Bullying Month as well. Anti-Bullying Month, October. So again, look next year for a lot more seminars, workshops, conferences, symposiums, you know, night vigilance where they go out and hold, you know what I'm talking about. They go out and light the candle, and everyone stands around and remembers various people that have lost their lives due to this very serious issue, because this is where it can start. In our topic today, for some of you, if you don't know, let me just go on and tell you, our topic today, very, very powerful topic and a very serious topic, and we're going to deal with it right here, because the Coach Lalisa Show, we are a self-help personal development show. Now, I know some people, they don't like that word, you know, self-help, and I recognize that. I didn't recognize it then, but when I wrote my first self-help book, I realized that that's not always the type of book that people want to read. People want to read books that are more sensational, and, you know, I talked to some students, and I told them I was talking about the book Release Your Power, and they looked at me like I was crazy. They were like, well, we like to read those books about sex and, you know, and steamy and sexy and steamy books, you know, the street lit, the urban lit, or they wanted to call it, or the cursing and all of that. And I said, okay, well, let's talk for a second. I said, okay, you like reading those kind of books, right? And you'll spend your money. They were like, yeah, we like those kind of books, Miss Williams. And I said, okay. And I said, well, what about a book like my book, you know, Release Your Power, and books like that where we're telling you how to get your life together, how to be a success in life. We're giving you some secrets and tips and strategies and lessons that we already went out there and paid the price for, and you don't have to. You can have, basically, if you read those books, they basically are, you know, our shortcut to success. And even the road to success, for because some people live this journey and they never find that road. So here we're just telling you how to get to the road or whatever. And I said, so, okay, I said, so you get their books and it's about sex and cursing and all of that, right? And I said, so at the end of the day, after you've read that book, what happened, what changed in your life? And they were like, well, nothing. And I says, okay, so you'll read one of these other books, and what can that do for your life? Well, it can do a lot, Miss Williams. And then they were like, then they got it. They were like, oh, okay, now I see why it's important that I also read those books. And sometimes that's all it takes. It's just breaking things down for people, and I guess that's what they would call a revelation. So anyway, back to my awesome topic today. I just wanted to share that with, especially for authors who we do, like I say, we do self-help, personal development. And it's way, I'm not saying those other books aren't valuable. They don't have some value to it, because I believe they do. But that is not the kind of value that's going to help you change your life for the better. Now, so here we are dealing with difficult people. Now, we all deal with difficult people. Let's get that straight right out front. Everybody deals with difficult people. Okay? Now, you may not feel that way right now, but I'm going to describe to you some different types of difficult people. And now you can see if any of these people that you know fit this category. Present company excluded, of course. But now, because you know what? This thing is like a mirror. And I had to look at this and say, oh my goodness, am I a difficult person? And the answer was yes. And I don't want to be a difficult person. So I have to do some readjusting, some tweaking, some making some changes to my personality. I mean, for the most part, you know, first of all, before you can make changes to your personality, it might be wise to know what your personality is. And one of the groups that I'm working with, we're doing an in-depth study of personality, and we're using the learning assessment and the learning model called True Colors. True Colors was developed by Mr. Tom Lowry, and we're studying his concept of the different personality types, true colors. So, and it's been fun. It's been a journey, and it's going to continue to be a journey. But difficult people are all around you. Now, let me name some places where you might find difficult people. Well, first and foremost, you might find them at work, right? You can imagine that. How many of you, raise your hand if you have difficult people in your workplace? Raise your hand. Let me see how many people. Okay, great. That's a great number of you with difficult people in the workplace. Now, keep in mind, I haven't even ran down to you all the different types of difficult people. But just for the sake of it, at least you know somebody that is difficult. Well, that's it. What about at school? What about at school? Difficult people at school. What about in the classroom? Let's just say you're a college student. You have any students that are a little difficult? Oh, I dare say you do. I've been teaching now since 2000, and every single class, I've never, ever, and I have taught, I should count up how many classes I have taught since then at the college level, not high school, but at the college level. I taught two high school classes, but I taught them a college course. It was offered in the high school. And even there, oh my goodness, half those kids were difficult. But you expect that because they're not fully developed yet. So we can understand why children are difficult. But I'm talking about adults. That's supposed to be a part of maturity. We understand why kids are difficult because they're not fully developed. They haven't fully been taught. They're not fully yet trained. Their frontal lobe has not fully been developed. They don't have their full frontal lobe where all of their clear thinking comes into play. So, therefore, we understand that. But when adults are difficult, now that's, in my personal opinion, that's a training issue. We have to train people how to train or coach. Well, there's three ways. Four. We can train, teach, coach, and mentor. Those are the four things. It's a four lethal combination there. You can train them, you can teach them, you can coach them, and you can mentor them out of being a difficult person. But some companies don't want to spend the money. First of all, coaches cost. They're not free. You have to pay them. And if you need to hire one, I'm available. Number two, trainers are certainly not free, and they are not cheap. Again, I'm a trainer. If you need one, call me. Excuse me. The next one would be a teacher. Teachers can or cannot be free. Sometimes teachers charge, sometimes they don't. Teachers, they teach everywhere they go anyway, so a lot of times if you're around a teacher, you can get a lot of information for free. And then mentoring is also free. Mentoring is free. You don't have to pay for a mentor. But a mentor can do some of those things as well. And so back to difficult people. They're in the workplace. Where else would you find difficult people? Where else do you think we can find difficult people? Okay, you can find, let's just say you're going shopping. You ever go, you can be shopping, whether it's for clothes or whether it's for food. You know, you may find a difficult person or two. Okay, where else will you find, as a matter of fact, some of you are on Facebook, so do me a favor. Go to my Facebook page, Lalisa J. Williams or Lalisa Williams. Go to my Facebook page and type into my wall places where you can find difficult people. I just want to see the response that I'll get. I just want to see the different responses of where you feel you can find difficult people. Particularly if I don't mention a place that you know there are. Oh, I'm going to tell you another place you can find a lot of difficult people. And people probably don't think of this. What about in prison? Because a lot of those difficult people that got arrested went to jail. So that's why a lot of the parents, they don't, you know, when your children, even when their children are horrible, they don't want them to get in trouble and go to jail because they know you're going to be around more difficult people. And difficult people, you know, we tend to ruin things for people. So that's why I said I no longer want to be a difficult person. Well, where else can you find difficult people? Many different places, right? What about in the church? Can you find difficult people there? Absolutely. There's always those individuals that are difficult for whatever reason, okay? Difficult people are everywhere. And even though it's not that many of them, technically by research, there's not that many, however, it's enough of them that it can make your life miserable, all right? But let's look at what is a difficult person exactly. What do we mean when we say, let's operationalize the definition for you of a difficult person? Okay, a difficult person would be, now here again, what's difficult for you, Minister Patricia Martin, may not be difficult for LaLisa. So let's also understand that we have to keep an open spectrum, I would say. I don't like to say open mind because we don't want people's minds too open with all these evil spirits always floating around. So we won't say open mind per se, but let's just say an open perspective. Let's say the way you look at things. The way you look at it, you consider many things. So let's consider that what's difficult for one person may not be difficult for the other. Now, I've seen that sometimes in the workplace where one person, no one could get along with this person, but someone else, that's that person's best friend. You see, that person is not difficult for them for whatever reasons. Now, here's some things that can make a person difficult. One is that if a person is disruptive, if you're having a meeting and you always have that person who is too disruptive, that could be a difficult person for you to deal with, and you may not want to deal with that person. Or a person that's too quiet. Sometimes that person is difficult, especially if you're on a team where you need everyone's opinion, and or you're in a group, you're working, you need everyone's participation, and you have that quiet person who is so hard to get anything out of them. That person could be typically, can be considered a difficult person. Now, I know initially when I start talking about difficult people, the first thing that comes to people's mind typically is someone who's aggressive, someone who's very angry, someone who's always causing disruptions and trouble. But now, in light of hearing that, what about a person that's also the opposite of that, way too quiet? You can't get anything out of them when you need to get something out of them. Another person who could be considered a difficult person is a person that is not a good listener and who always interrupts. Now, I know that's typical. I know definitely. I'm like, okay, that's me, that's me. I'm looking in the mirror because I tend to do that. So, again, we might be the difficult person, and we need to make those adjustments. You know, we can't go and bury our head in the sand and act like it's everyone else without looking at ourselves to make sure that we're not that difficult person in any given scenario, whether it be at work, at play, at home, in the community. So we're talking today about dealing effectively with difficult people. And it's really important when these people are on your job, because you got to go to work every day. You got to spend a lot of hours on your job. Most people will work 30, 40, 50 years of their lives. That's a long time to work. 50, let's just say you get your first real good professional job at age 20, and you can't retire until you're like 70. That's 50 long years of working. 50 long years of working. Now, so these are people that could be considered difficult people. People that are disruptive, for sure, difficult. And we're going to talk later about how do you deal with these people? How do you deal with us? How do you deal with us people? Or someone who is a bully. Someone who is a bully. You know, bullies are very difficult to deal with. And unfortunately, they didn't die off in the playground. you know, you would think that, okay, they're just a bully, it's a child, it's a phase they're going through. It's going to die down, they're going to change. Not necessarily so. There's a lot of research that supports there were bullies that were in grade school that they followed for 25 years, and they found that these bullies, a large number of them, also kept up that behavior into their adulthood, okay? They kept up that behavior even into adulthood, being a bully. So people who are also very abrupt. You have those people, they're very abrupt, you know. There's nothing soft about them at all. They're just rough and abrupt. They walk into a meeting and they're very abrupt, or you're trying to have a conversation with them and they're abrupt. And again, you know, we got to use this as a good lesson, but also as a mirror to make sure we don't fall into this category. These individuals are very effective in the organization or wherever they are. And typically what happens when you have abruptive, interruptive, and disruptive people around, they're disruptive, they're interruptive, and they are abruptive. When these individuals are around your workplace, your home, they can cause serious, serious damage. Number one, in the workplace, it ends at school. Workplace, school, and church are the main areas we see this. And even in the home, even in our personal lives. First of all, in the workplace, if you have these individuals in your workplace, people who are abruptive, they're interruptive, they interrupt everything you say, they don't let you get a word in edgewise. They're abruptive, they just have that rough, tough edge about them, and they're also disruptive, always causing confusion and problems. When you have these individuals around in your workplace, number one, it's going to drive down the morale, or it'll increase the level of low morale within your organization. And when morale is low within your organization, productivity slows. It's not, it might slow down. It's not, it's a possibility. That's an absolute. When morale is low, productivity is slow. So in an organization, as a manager, as a leader, as an owner of an organization, you want to always have high morale so that the productivity is also high, so that you are getting the most bang for your buck, so that you are getting the most out of your employees, so your employees are constantly being developed to a higher level. So you don't want this in your workplace. Same thing in the school. If you have a classroom where there's a lot of interruption, where there's a lot of disruption, and there's a lot of abruption, you're going to have a classroom where the morale is low. And where the morale is low, the student learning is going to be slow. It's going to be lower. And you don't want that, right? You want to peak. You want to maximize. You want to achieve the highest level of potential for every student and every employee. And the same thing would happen in a church, and the same thing in a home. When you have a disruptive child, and any of you who have children, you already know what a disruptive family member can do to your family, whether it's a child, whether it's other family members who come by. Too many families allow disruptive people around their children, and then they wonder why the children are not performing to their highest levels in school. Well, disruptive people slow things down. It's just, you know, difficult people slow things down. And that's why you have to take great pains to get rid of difficult people from your life. Yes. So let's talk more about this. All right. So what else happens in the workplace when you have this low morale, when you have this disruptive person within your organization? How can difficult people affect your organization in ways that you may not have considered? You may not realize that this is happening. All you know is that the orders are falling off. The customers aren't coming in as much as they used to. Customers are not referring other people. You may investigate and do some research and find out that what you have on the other side of your counter without even realizing it is a difficult employee, and you want to do something about it. Now, here's something else. A lot of conflict. There's a lot of conflict in your organization. You have a difficult person. They may be incognito because, you know, some people, they act one way in front of the supervisor and they act another way when the supervisor is not around, or they act one way in front of the leader, another way when the leader is not there. They act another way in front of the parents. When the parents are not there, they act another way. Even in the church, some people in front of the pastor, the bishop, the pastor, the reverend, whoever's the leader in the church, the person is a little angel. But behind the pastor's back, they are a little devil. I've seen it in so many different churches. It's not like in one kind of a church. It's not like it's in this kind of church and not the non-denominational. It's anywhere you have people. It's human nature. Human nature. I didn't say spiritual nature because that's the difference. Some people, we don't have as much of our spiritual side in rule, okay? It's not the ruling factor in our lives. So our spirit, and some of us have a lot of control over our spiritual side, and so we only show it when we want to, as opposed to what Christ says, I want to take over. I want to come and take over your life. I want to be the main, you know, the main show, the main thing here. So difficult people are everywhere. Everywhere, and this is how they can affect your organization, whether it be a church, a company, anywhere. Now, here's the problem where, you know, the attitudes of the people who are with or around difficult people is not that good. When there is intimidation, you know, there are some people who just love to intimidate others. They just get a kick out of it, you know, for no other reason. They just get a big kick out of it. And so, but that's a problem because, again, it's hard to fight back and work hard when you're around people that are very intimidating, people who are very difficult, people who like to hurl a lot of insults. You know, you're stupid. You don't know what you're doing. Why are you doing it this way? What's wrong with you? You should have did it that way. It could have been done better this way. Well, you know, sometimes when people say that to me, especially a supervisor, I want to say, well, then why don't you do it? Okay, if you feel it could be done better this particular way, then you do it that way, because I'm Lalisa, and with my personality, I did it this way. This is how I did it. And I feel really sorry for those managers who treat their subordinates that way. You know, it's one thing when you get an employee, because I was in the military, and I remember how they trained us in boot camp and how they trained us in, you know, beyond boot camp. But when you have an employee who doesn't know anything about your organization, they don't know anything about the job, they don't know anything about the task of the job, that's one thing. You have to say to them, do it this way, do it that way, do it like that. But after you give it to them, it becomes their project. And, you know, you should be flexible enough that if they get it done and you've achieved the goal that you were looking for, the outcome that you were looking for, doesn't matter really which way they did it, as long as they didn't cost you a lot of money. Now, if they did it, you know, inefficiently, and it cost your organization a ton of money to do it their way, okay? But if they were still effective, you see, but that can be intimidating to an employee to work with someone who every time they give you something to do and you do it and then they come back and say, well, you should have did it like this. That would be like your mom, you know, telling you to make macaroni and cheese, and then after she tastes, and you went through all the trouble to put in the cheese and the milk and the butter and whatever else you put in macaroni and cheese. Well, the macaroni, of course. You went through all the trouble to make the macaroni and cheese, and you sit down and you're at the dinner table. Now, your mother takes a bite of the macaroni and cheese and tells you, oh, you should have did this to it. You should have did that to it. Now, at that point, you feel like saying, well, then you should have made it. If I should have did all those things, no, you should have did those things, and you should have made it. And this is what it can be like, very disruptive, having to deal with difficult people. Difficult people, they also demoralize the team. They demoralize the team. They demoralize the team. It could cost the company money. Projects are constantly at risk of not getting done when you have a team that is demoralized. And how horrible is it when it's the leader doing the demoralizing? You know, it's bad enough when one of the team members are doing it. But how horrible when the leader is that person? You know, it's like in a household. Okay, you got mother and father and say some children, right? Whether it's mother and father or just mother, whatever, whoever is leading that household. It's bad enough if one of the children will be disruptive, abruptive, interruptive, okay. But my goodness, when the leader of the household, if there's a father there, if the father is in this is a big problem in the home. If it's a single parent home and it's just the mother there, and the mother is leading the home, mother or father, whoever, the single parent. Hello, that's not good. That really, really, really is not good. So just difficult people, like we said, they're everywhere. But what we do want to do is we want to make sure, first and foremost, that the difficult person is not inside of me. So I first need to deal with myself. Before I begin to, you know, point the fingers, like take the plank out of our own eye, before I can even see that you got a plank, you know, forget trying to take the plank out of your eye. But I can't even tell if you have a plank or not because I got to take it out of my own eye. So the first thing we do, we use this tool as a mirror to say, is that person me? Now remember, a person who is difficult does not only have to be the bully or the intimidating person, and it could also be the person who doesn't listen, who's also, who interrupts you when you're trying to talk. And so with that being said, I know that's me. So I need to stop doing that. Because that's, you know, I never thought of that as being a difficult person. Some of these behaviors that we've developed, we've been doing it so long without any real level of acknowledging or understanding that we, too, have areas of growth that we need to deal with. And you know, it's, well, anyway, so... I'm just saying all that to say it's important that we understand. And by the way, I want to welcome you to the show if you just tuned in. And we have gotten to the level where we do have a couple of commercials that we have to show. So we have to play. So I do have a very, very important message that I want to share with you. So check it out.
Does your life need a makeover? Well, don't miss the very first makeover party happening Tuesday, November the 15th at the Marriott Courtyard located on Route 1 and 9 South in Newark, New Jersey. That's 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. The admission is absolutely free. Talk about party. Come on, ladies. I know you like to party. I know you like to have fun. Well, how about this? You can have fun while getting your personal development style on all at the same time. So don't forget to come out on Tuesday, November the 15th, 7 p.m. to the Marriott Courtyard on Route 1 and 9 South. The Marriott Courtyard is the official sponsor for this event. So please come out. We will be there. We will show you how to make your life over at the first Life Makeover Party. Your host, Coach Lalisa, will be there. Come out and network with other powerful and dynamic women who are truly, truly on the move. There will be refreshments. You will have lots of fun. And if you bring a friend with you, there will be a special gift waiting just for you. So come out November the 15th, that's Tuesday, at 7 p.m. at the Marriott Courtyard, located in Newark, New Jersey, on Route 109 South. For more information, log on to www.lilisajwilliams.com or call area code 908-432-1853. We'll see you at the Life Makeover Party.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to that commercial. Now, if you would like to advertise with us, please inbox me on Facebook or you can call 908-432-1853. We are taking it up a notch, and soon you will see a commercial for this show right there on, oh, probably television. So here's the thing. Now, what I'm going to talk about in this next half hour of the show, we're going to talk about some of these difficult people, and then we're going to talk about what you can do if you find yourself trapped to where you have to deal with one of these difficult people. Now, there are some different types of difficult people who are out there, but here's what you need to know. What happens when you have to deal with difficult people? Well, you know, everybody is a little bit different. Everyone's reaction won't be exactly the same. However, they have found through research some very common reactions. One is, like, you can tell you're probably dealing with a difficult person if you begin to feel your blood pressure rise, or you feel your heart kind of racing, or you get like a lump in your throat, or you have that mentality, you know, I got to fight or flight or even freeze, you know, type of syndrome. Or, you know, well, if your skin color was light enough or whatever, or you were white, you might get a red face. This is an indication that you're probably dealing with, these are some of the physiological things that will happen to you. There are also the psychological things sometimes, and then people sometimes they want to shut down, they get a headache, but that would be part of the fighting. But one thing is for sure, if you don't do something about it, that someone who is difficult for you, it will only continue. It won't go away on its own. So for those people who if you're just waiting for it to go away, well, it's pretty much not going to go away. So that's why we want to teach you some steps, some strategies on how to deal with the person. Because for some people, you need your job. You can't just up and quit. You know, you need your not only that, you like your job. You like doing what you do. You like working for the company that you work for. It's not the company's fault that they have difficult people, because more than likely that person didn't show themselves difficult in the interview. That's how they got the position. They kept it under wraps for as much as they could. Sometimes it doesn't appear that way, and sometimes you wonder if these companies go out of their way to hire difficult people. Some companies have more difficult people than others. Sometimes it's the culture of the organization. People came into the company, they were not difficult, and once they got there, they became difficult. Maybe that was their way of survival. They were around so many difficult people. The same thing can happen in a household. If the parents are really abruptive and disruptive and very tough, then the child might grow up that same way. Or the opposite, the child may grow up very timid because of what they've had to deal with all their life and, you know, being fearful. So let's look at some of these different types of people. Let's take a look. What do we have here? Well, these are very general, broad, you know, people. So, okay, just know that. Well, there's one category of people, and they're difficult people, and that's the steamroller. The steamroller, you know, is the bully of the group, all right? The steamroller. This is the person who's always interrupting, insulting, and very yelling, very loud. the person that's always interruptive, they're always insulting, and they're always yelling. Now, in that terms of, in that sense of interruption, I definitely know I'm not in that category. But, you know, we do have to make sure that we're working not to be a person that interrupts people, let people have what they need to say. But these are people who just disrupt everything around them. And we call this the steamroller. This is the bully of the group. They're always yelling, always offering insults. They give insults as if they're going to get a reward for it or a prize. That's the steamroller. You know, you can write these down and see on your job if you find any of these people. Then you have the sniper. You know, those people that they kind of hide in the back of the room. I got some students like that. But boy, oh boy, they got a sharp tongue. Oh my God, I know there's a lot of people like that in the church. Oh, they'll snipe here like a sniper, you know. You ever watch those movies where the sniper is on top of the building or way in the back of the room and they're trying to snipe out somebody in the front? Yeah, they're always taking shots at everybody, you know, constantly nitpicking and sending little comments and innuendos. They always want to do this, and you know, from undercover. You know, they don't want nobody to notice. These are the people that pretend to be so innocent. They're a sniper, but yet they're always hurling accusations just at the right time. So, to me, this is the worst kind of person, is that sniper. I'd almost rather have the bully, because the bully, you know they're coming, right? You see the bully coming, you know, just get away from them. But you know the bully. But no, them little snipers, those are the ones pretend to be your friend. But they're always sniping, always some negative comment. Okay, talking about difficult people today on the Coach Lalisa Show. And then you got those people that just can't say no. They won't say no to work, you know, and they won't say no, they won't say no, and then they finally just collapse, you know. And I know I've had that problem. And I had to, you know, I've been to seminars on to teach you how to stand up for yourself. That's like almost like being bullied when you can't say no. And then there's these people who, they know you can't say no. They'll come to you, and what happens? You'll end up collapsing. So difficult people, these people who just can't say no. And what good is a person who collapses? Then you have the know-it-all. The people that... do I have to say anything else? Okay, do I need to say more? They just know everything, you know. That's another one. Oh, my God, I've gotten tripped up in that bag a few times. And I have to say, wait a minute, Lalisa, be quiet. You don't know everything. Just shut up for a moment. Shh, you know. It's like you tell people, shh, shh, put your little finger up. Yeah, we don't know everything. The know-it-all. I mean, we may know a lot, and people may ask our opinion. That's fine, but we don't know it all. Difficult. Talking about difficult people in the workplace, at church, in the home, in the community, in the school, in the college, wherever you find people. And then I'm going to tell you in the last few minutes of the show some ways to deal with some of these people. Then you have the complainer. Oh, my goodness. Oh, how difficult are they to deal with at work? You get there in the morning, it's a bright, beautiful day like today, and you're like, good morning. They start off with a complaint. Why the copier isn't working? How come we didn't get our last month when we got paid? They didn't pay us for our overtime. Just complain, complain, complain. But do you realize that Biggie Smalls didn't wake up yesterday? Do you realize that he was only 44? Why are you complaining? Aren't you still here? Don't you still have breath in your body? Why are you complaining about anything? But you have it, you know, so the chronic whiners, always whining, why don't we have this and why don't we get that? Their whole life is just one big giant complaint. These are difficult people. And so it's not just the bully, y'all, it's the others. And then you have the staller, the person who just can't make a decision on nothing. Woo, boy, they can't commit to anything. They're just always stalling. I talk about difficult. That would, like, what if you had a car like that? That would be a difficult car, right? Every time you get to the light, the car stalls. Oh, wouldn't that be horrible? You can't get going because the car is stalling. And that's how some people are. You can't get them going in life. They're always stalling. Some people stall themselves right into their 50s. They're still sitting there trying to get going. But if you have to live with that person or work with that person, it's very difficult. Even if you have to be that person, very, very difficult. And then there's, people that but you have to do something, okay? You got to take action on these people, all right? The staller, the complainer, the person that knows it all, the bully, the person that can't say no, and the sniper. You got those written down? The steamroller, the sniper, the one who can't say no, the know-it-all, the complainer, and the staller. And these are just some. And again, I want you to come up with some people that you, some places where you can find difficult people and some people, other difficult people. Put it right there on my Facebook page. As a matter of fact, I'm on Facebook now, and I don't see any posts. So maybe some of you can't, you're not able to kind of multitask right now. So you're going to put it there later. But I'm looking for some of your comments right there on Facebook, talking about dealing with difficult people. And good morning, Lady Flag, good morning. Those of you who are tuned in, good morning to the guests in the chat room talking today about, now, how do you deal with these difficult people? What are you going to do with them? So I'm going to give you some solutions, some quick little solutions. But remember, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We're not yet finished with difficult people. So stay tuned. I got another commercial. You know, we got to pay the bills. So I got another commercial that I want you to listen to, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Do you like to shop? Well, come out on Friday, November 25th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. for the Vendor Expo. You will get an opportunity to purchase right from local vendors in your area. Get those special items for that special someone or for your family members for this holiday season. This Vendor's Expo is the first of its kind here in Newark, New Jersey. The event is hosted by Sister to Sister and Sisters in the Spirit. For more information, contact Angela Vett at 973-573-2494 or Lil Lisa at 908-432-1853. If you are a vendor, you still may have an opportunity to reserve your table. Vendor tables are only $50, and they are going fast. So make that call, 973-573-2494 or 908-432-1853. Remember, get your shop on Friday, November 25th at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Where? At Sisters and Sisters and Sisters in the Spirit joining together for their first Vendor Expo. This event will give small business owners the opportunity to showcase their businesses, to network, to make money, and it will give shoppers a chance to shop until you are ready to drop, all while networking at the same time. Now, if you are a customer, you do not have to pay any entrance fee. You just come in, shop, take part of the holiday spirit, come out and meet wonderful vendors who have wonderful items, food items, clothes items. There will be jewelry. There will be paintings. So many vendors there. Every kind of item you can think of will be there. There will be authors there. Many, so don't forget. Mark your calendars. Come and shop. You're not going to be there all day, but you still have time to make it to your other favorite stores. Again, Friday, November 25th, come out to the first Vendors Expo in Newark, New Jersey at the Marriott Hotel, the Marriott Courtyard Hotel, which is located in Newark, New Jersey on Routes 1 and 9 South. That's the Marriott Courtyard on Routes 1 and 9 South in Newark, New Jersey. Again, if you have questions, call Angela Vett, 973-573-2494 or Lilisa at 908-432-1853. We'll see you there.
Well, we're back, and thank you for staying tuned to the Coach Lilisa Show as we talk about this very important, very serious topic, dealing effectively with difficult people. So we've talked about who these difficult people are, what some of them look like, where you can find some of the difficult people. Maybe one of the eye-openers is that maybe that difficult people person is living on the inside of us, so we want to take that mirror and make sure it's not. Because, again, we don't want to take out a plank in someone else's eye, and we got like a big old mountain in our own eye. So we want to make sure it's not us. We also looked at some different types of difficult people, like the steamroller, like the person who is the sniper, the person who is the know-it-all person. We've talked about the person that is the complainer, and we've talked about the person that the one who can't say no. So we talked about that. Now we're looking at what you can do to deal with these individuals, and then we're not going to be able probably to finish talking about how to deal with all of those. And we have more to share on difficult people, but we want you to have some resolve if you have to deal with these people, especially you might be going to work today and have to deal with them. So here's that steamroller. Let's deal with that steamroller first, that bully, you know, the old bully, that big bully. How do you deal with that? And, you know, bullying is becoming so widespread. It's amazing how it's just taken on like wildfire. Now they're talking about bullies in the church even. I say, you know, you never thought you'd hear that term. Bullies, okay, we had bullies on the playground. And then the bullies went to college. Then the bullies got married. Then the bullies got a job. They was at work. And now even you take your family to church and you got bullies there. Oh, my goodness. These bullies never sleep. They never stop. So how do you deal with the bully? Well, when dealing with the steamroller person, also the bully, and it could be verbal or physical, the first thing to do with this bully in the workplace or what have you, I'm not talking about domestic violence. Now, that's something a little bit different. We'll talk about that on another show. But we're just talking about that bully, you know, the person that usually is blowing off a lot of steam. Okay, first thing you want to do is you want to stay calm. See, what the bully wants to do is excite you and get and trigger something in you for you to fight back. The bully really just loves to argue, typically, or they want to keep up disruption if the bully in the classroom or in the workplace, all right? And again, you've made their day if you feed into it. If you fall into their trap, you've made your day. Because that's all they want to do is to get your water boiled, get your blood, you know, pressure up. They want to get you riled up. That's a satisfaction for them. Something is probably released, some type of chemical is probably released in their system every time they do that. And it could be something from when they were a child. Maybe as a kid, they watched a lot of cartoons where there was a bully, and maybe they identified with that behavior and they just, you know, learned to adapt to it, and that's what they like. So be very, very careful that you don't let them rile you up. You know, they just want to elevate your emotions to the same level as theirs. And so what you got to do is do the opposite. That's why you're going to stay calm. The last thing you want to do with one of those big mouth bullies is get big mouth with them. That's what they want. That's what they love. That's what they enjoy. That's what they're trying to do. And when you push back and argue back, rather, and hurl, you know, accusations back at them, now you've made their day. Now you're like, they're like going, yeah, you know, this is wonderful, you see. And then they'll keep it going. But at the end, then you feel lousy. Okay, they kept it going. They left the conversation feeling great. You're leaving feeling horrible. So don't do that. Don't feed into them. Okay, you just stay calm. All right, keep your eye contact with them. Remain assertive, not aggressive. Remain assertive. Assertive is you have your high self-esteem, you have your high level of confidence, you know who you are, you're not with low self-esteem, feeling inadequate. You got to deal. See, this is why you got to deal with your own emotional issues at home before you ever go to work. You know, some people just get up in the morning and go to work and take a job, and they don't deal with themselves. Before you even leave that house, you got to pray. You got to meditate on the word. You got to talk to God. You got to talk about what you think your day is going to be like. You got to ask God to give you the strength to deal with the bullies, to deal with the can do it, I can do everything's, and the complainers and the know-it-alls, you know. You got to deal with all that. Talk to the Lord about all that before you ever leave the house. But typically with this person, when they start, when they get you going, you know, let them go on. You know, remember how Muhammad Ali used to do with his opponents? He used a trick called the rope-a-dope. Remember that? He would lay on the ropes because he had built up his midsection. Muhammad Ali had done in training, and he could take a lot of punches to his ribs, and he's mostly keeping his head, the most important part. You know, that's where our thinking is, our central thinking processing unit. He would keep his head covered, keeping his dukes up, as we would say, and he would take those shots to the gut, right? And then he would let his opponents tire themselves out, and once they did, then he would take over, you know. So that's how you got to do these bullies. Let them tire themselves out. And then, as soon as they do, now you can come, you know, in and interrupt, and you can get a word in. But when it's time for you to, like I would tell the young people, then you can do a ta-da-ow on them, and you can just come right back now that they've tired themselves out. And now you can say, okay, wait a minute, I have something to say too. And they're steady trying to bully. You said, no, I listen to you. Now you need to listen to me. Typically, if you let, I've tried this actually, and it really works. If you got a bully person who's always trying to overpower you with their words, don't try to interrupt as they're trying to do that because they want to get your blood boiling. Let them have their say. Let them rant and rave. And then when they're done, and you see that they tired out, because pretty soon that little mouth will get tired. And then you say, I have something to say. Don't lose your cool. Stay calm. Don't try to rush it. Let them do a rope-a-dope on them. And then, ta-da, you know, kind of thing. Say, I have something to say. And then they're going to interrupt, because that's what bullies do. And you say, well, no, wait a minute. No, you stand your ground now. Got to stand up for yourself. You got to be assertive. You're not aggressive. You know, I listen to you. Now it's you going to listen to me. And you keep interjecting that. And if they try to disrupt you again, just say, wait a minute. No, hey, wait a minute. Just be a little stern. It's now my turn. Let them know you had your turn and I listen to you. But whatever you do, don't back down, right? And then you have... as you're dealing with the sniper, remember that person in the back of the room. And remember, I said in the classroom, I see it all the time. And you know how teachers deal with this, right? Because teachers are trained on how to deal with all these different people. Because, you know, teachers have to deal with all this in the classroom. So teachers are trained how to deal with this, with the sniper. They usually say, okay, excuse me, did you have something to say? Was there something you wanted to share with the rest of us? And what happened? Typically that person says, oh, no, I was just kidding. Okay, so stop kidding. Stop playing around. That's probably why your grades are slipping. Okay, or it could be better if you stop playing around so much. Typically that'll shut them down. But sometimes they will become disruptive, too. They will become the bully. But you already know how to deal with the bully. So we have so much more to share, and I didn't get to share everything that I want to share. But there's always tomorrow, right? Provided we all show up here tomorrow, because now we only have a few seconds left to the show. And that's all, but I told you this is a very difficult topic because it's a lot going on. So we're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to deal with some more bullying tomorrow. Good morning, each and every one of you guests. Go out, Have a wonderful, wonderful day. If you need to go back and listen to the show, we're dealing with difficult people. So tune in tomorrow. We'll do part two of dealing with difficult people. Don't forget, go to my inbox. Inbox me some places where you find difficult people and different types of difficult people, or even just to talk about what we've talked about today. Difficult people. All we have time for. You have a wonderful, wonderful, awesome day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, Coach.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.